Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and it is June 6th, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. at Saturday evening on the East Coast of the United States. I welcome everyone to the show this evening. And especially, I'd like to give a warm welcome to Sri Kadivji, who is the Mahaji and the 973rd Living Sri Osha Master. He's the current leader of this teaching. Sri Kadivji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. And for those people who have just joined us for the first time, if you haven't had an opportunity to read the introduction, we're going to talk about ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, which is the only path that can bring one to the level of spiritual mastery within their lifetime. And it is a very, very ancient teaching. Sri Kadivji is the 973rd Living Sri Osha Master in a long, unbroken line of masters. And Sri Kadivji, would you like to talk a little bit about the history of the teaching and how this lineage began?
Yes, you were saying about a long line of Sri Osha Master. It's actually the longest line of spiritual mastery, and it's unbroken because when the teaching isn't public, it still exists with the living Sri Osha Master at the time. The 973 goes back to 3100 BC at the beginning of the Iron Age. The present Iron Age started then in October the 22nd, 3100 BC at midnight, and that's when this era started. And that's when the lineage started also, so that we could technically create a book and give one or two paragraphs on each one of the masters in the lineage from that time. So in other words, we could chronologically record it if possible. And before that time, what we call the masters, we call them the ancient spiritual masters that are before the Iron Age. So you'll have people like Phoebe Quants and Rebazar Tars, who are these ancient spiritual masters, and some of them go back beyond the lineage. And therefore, the masters sometimes are very old, that they'll be thousands of years old. I know for some people in the beginning that's hard to believe, but don't be concerned about that. When I first was a member years ago, you have to ingest some information that may be difficult, but at the same time, it's true. So it doesn't really matter about what the information is. You just learn to live with it and understand it as truth. Now, having said all that, what we also give information about what is known as the four lower planes of existence, which are dimensional vibrational areas, just like the physical plane. We have a mapping in our intro book, and all the materials are free. We have the intro book has a map that shows the first four lower planes, and we call them the lower planes. These are spiritual material planes. They have matter intermixed with them, and this is what ACTA is about, is to help people negotiate their way through these lower planes. And that's the sole purpose of ACTA, is to get the ready soul, I'll say, through these lower planes. Now, what we describe in ACTA as the essence of man is what is known as the Sri Osha, or the individual light and sound of each individual. And that means that we'll hear a sound current, which is often mentioned in the teachings of ACTA, as a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear. One can hear the sound current, and that sound current is the essence of each individual. Each individual person is a sound current, and everyone has their own specific sound, which is a part of the eternal sound, and like a swirling entity, if you will, called the ocean of love and mercy, which makes up the God force, what we call the Akshar in Akasha, A-K-S-H-A-R. And that God force is made up of all the atoms and all the souls in perpetuity. And it's important because we tune into that and learn how to ride the sound current back to the Godhead. Now, firstly, we have to negotiate the four lower planes. And those planes are called the physical, astral, causal, mental plane. And the top of the mental plane is the etheric plane or the subconscious. The reason why that's important, there are a lot of books written about the subconscious. Many of the motivators, and I think even The Secret mentions the subconscious. And the subconscious is this top of the mental plane. And that has to be negotiated through to get to the fifth plane, the plane of liberation. And now that means when we talk about Akasha as the ancient science of Sahaji, now we get into the term Sahaji, which is that movement of spirit or soul through these lower planes. And it's traveling through these areas, getting to the soul plane. Hence, that means that a lot of teachings in the past have lost the thread of the essence of what the truth is in terms of the physical plane is not a stepping point necessarily into heaven. You see, so there's a big misnomer on that, and periodically the living Sroshi Master comes forth and clears up the matter of the physical plane not being the step to liberation and the next level. When that means when someone dies, they don't necessarily automatically go to heaven or hell. They go to the astral plane if they're not on the high path of Akasha. Now, again, having said that, it's the master is always the teacher of the high path, but it's not always public. For instance, Akasha has been public since 1988, so we're going on nearly, 27 years. And that means that it's not always public, Afra said. It's public periodically because sometimes you can't teach it because the vibrations get so low and negative that you can't even talk about certain things. And people know in America these days there's a lot of issues in terms of freedom of speech and all that. But having said that, we're very fortunate to have 1 in 100 ready souls. And it doesn't sound like much, but when you look at the entire Earth region, then we can see that that means about 75 million ready souls. Now, we're nowhere near that presently. We may have a few thousand members internationally. And we're having a meeting, actually, at the Philadelphia Central Library for anybody who's interested in coming to that on next Tuesday night. So we're giving an introductory physically at the library, which is a lot of fun, and people will really enjoy that. Similarly of what we're doing here tonight in terms of intro material. Leslie, maybe you'd like to talk about the contemplation and Sroshi, the whole idea of traveling, and if you'd like to do that.
Yes, I would, Sri Kadafi, but just to give a little bit of more detail, if anybody is interested in coming to this meeting on Tuesday night, the 9th, at 6:30, and the address of the Philadelphia Library is 1901 Vine Street, Philadelphia 19103, and it's in room 108, just to give you the details on that in case you do decide. And the meeting is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And yes, I enjoy speaking about the contemplation because for me that's really the most important aspect of the teaching. And we're not really required to do anything on the teaching, but it is a very a very important aspect of the teaching to do the contemplation. It is what moves us forward in our spiritual unfoldment. So we highly recommend that everyone does this on a daily basis because when you do this regularly, you'll notice your own spiritual unfoldment, you'll actually experience some amazing miracles within your life, because it makes you stronger, very, very much stronger spiritually, and it just moves you that much closer towards spiritual mastery. So in doing this exercise, we take about 30 minutes. It'll mean exactly 30 minutes. You can go over if you like, but it's recommended to do at least 30 minutes, and we do that on a daily basis. Try to pick a time that you can do it around the same time every day, because 30 minutes of contemplation actually covers a span of 24 hours. It's really scientifically measured to show that 30 minutes will last you for that 24-hour period. So in order to do the contemplation, one sits in a comfortable chair with your legs crossed in tailor fashion, or you can have your feet flat on the floor. But make sure you're comfortable. Try to be in as quiet a place as possible, because it's really important to try to keep the exterior noise from disturbing you. Use earplugs if you need to do that. And what we do is we take a few deep breaths to begin the contemplation, just to relax ourselves. And we're putting our attention on what's known as the third eye, or it's also called the tisratil. It's that spot that's above the bridge of the nose, between the eyebrows. And that's where we're putting our attention on that chakra, because it is one of the highest chakras. And we're putting our attention there, and we're going to chant, and we recommend chanting the word HU, H-U, because HU has a very, very high vibrational vibration to it, and it's actually the word on the 10th plane. The word on the 10th plane, or when one achieves spiritual mastery. So that's why we want to put our attention on the hue, because that's why it does bring us to spiritual mastery that much closer. And also, it's a very protective word, because it will just really dispel any kind of negativity that might be coming into your arena when you're using the hue. And you can use it on both the outer or the inner. And so, so we're relaxed. We've done the deep breaths, and we have our eyes closed. We're gently focusing on the tisratil, and then we begin chanting HU. And it's spelled H-U, and it sounds exactly like that. And I'm going to start the HU right now. And it's very calming, very centering. I recommend chanting it for a few minutes. If you'd like to chant it longer than that, that's perfectly fine as well. But what happens is that the hue gets you into a balanced state. And after that, you can focus more on what types of experiences might be forthcoming during the spiritual exercise. So, for example, you might be hearing the sound current, which Sri Kadachi mentioned earlier, that has a sound of a high-pitched electrical sound, and it comes in even stronger during the hue chant. You might hear it other times during the day, but during contemplation, it usually comes in very, very strongly. So the other aspects are you might see a light, which can be a white light of the inner, the higher planes. You might see a blue light, which is the inner light, the blue light of the Mahaji, the living Sirosha master. Sometimes one can actually see this on the physical plane as well as a little blue spark or blue star. And that's wonderful, because that means, you know, the master is with you, as he always is with every member of the teaching of Akita. And you might also be cognizant of the type of out-of-body experience you might be having. You might be very actively experiencing a satsang class on one of the inner planes at one of the temples of Golden Wisdom. You might be traveling through any of the various planes. And you don't ever have to worry about whether you're going to have a negative experience, because doing the hue has already protected you from any kind of negative entity coming in and harming you in any way. So that's never a concern when you're traveling in Sahaji. So I recommend you to do this 30 minutes a day, and just in a period of time, in a month or two, you can probably look back and see some changes within yourself. Usually when someone is studying on the path of the Agata, talents and creativity that they didn't know that they had will come forth. They'll find that it starts to predominate, and it's very, very interesting, because we're really opening up. We like to use the word unfoldment because we are opening up like a flower in the spiritual sense. Srikant, did you want to add anything to this?
Yes, I'd like to say that the hue is very important universal mantra on the inner planes. In other words, one can use that if they're having negative issues on the inner. If they use the hue, it will dispel, as you said, any negative vibrations. So when people have problems on the inner, just use the hue chant, and that will get rid of issues. In other words, if I'm appearing and to someone on the inner, you can challenge the images by doing a hue, and if they stay, then they're real experiences. If it goes away, it's just a mock-up by the negative force, which we call the Kalner energy, K-A-L. And we call it Kal for short, K-A-L. It sounds like cow, but it's Kal, K-A-L. And that's the negative power that sees to it that people have many incarnations and keeps people in the lower worlds, because that's his domain. It's the he god of the lower worlds and he god of the Christian Bible. So it's kind of a scary situation for most people. That's why we're here, just for the ready soul, the 1 in 100, because the other 99 are just going to be reincarnated until they get back to the path. And people say, why isn't it for everybody? Well, it wasn't set up that way, because the lower worlds and is a lesson ground for souls to get back to the Godhead, which we call Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R. And remember, it's not a religion, not a philosophy, not a metaphysical teaching, occult science, or anything like that. Akta is the ancient science of Sahaji that we sometimes call a pathway, science, or teaching. And those four definitions are the only ones approbated by me as a living Sroshi master. So again, it's not religion, albeit we do talk about God, but no one has an exclusive on God, not even us. We don't. We call it Akshar, and it's a high vibration and a high feeling, and people can feel that energy that's very powerful on the path of Akita. So that's the whole point to the path, is that your feelings are intact, and those feelings guide you to liberation in the fifth plane. The fifth plane is the above the lower worlds, and it's the plane of self-realization. It's the first goal in Akita. There are three major goals: self-realization, God-realization, and Svarosha mastery. And each one respectively would be the fifth, the eighth, and the tenth plane. So these are major goals that we allow the student to experience in the state of Sahaji. So one learns to do the daily contemplation and travel to these higher planes. That's what it's about. It's about each individual gaining the realization on his own. And then my guidance is, if anybody has the issues on the inner, I can point the way where to go, because I've been there. Just like Leslie's a spiritual master too. She's a Sroshi master. She's a 22nd initiate, so she's been there as well. So we have many masters on the path. We have about 20 masters, I think, presently in the teaching. And therefore, we practice what we preach in terms of Sroshi mastery. We have probably a couple thousand students internationally, And out of those students, there's about 20 masters, 10th initiates and above. And therefore, it's not just me as the only master, because there are some teachings that do talk about mastery, but do not allow their followers to become masters any longer. At one time, they did in history, but it usually stayed with the leader and then a bunch of followers. That's what happens later on sometimes with teachings. When it's not the high path, then it digresses into a religion. Sometimes. That's why all the religions used to be Akita at one time in history. So there's an irony in all that. At the same time, there's always a high path, whether it's hidden or public, you see. So once in a while, the teachers aren't teaching publicly, like I said earlier on in the talk tonight, and then they teach one-on-one to ready souls. So it always exists, but again, it's not necessarily publicly taught. So we're actually fortunate that we're in an era right now that we can have the teaching public for a while, and that's really good because people are happy with that. The students that are on the path are a fun-loving bunch and very joyful people. We have a lot of fun, and it's not all that serious, and albeit we sound like we are tonight because we have to give out the information, the basic information, so one can get back to the higher planes. I mean, that's the serious matter of trying to negotiate through this fog, if you will, of the lower planes and the negativity. Because there is a lot of negativity presently. That's why the Hue chant is so very special, that when you do the daily contemplation, and if you're dedicated to it, as Leslie said, that 30 minutes will allow you to get a 24-hour period of harmony. You get a harmonic vibration that you can utilize to get through all the negativity. So it's very critical, albeit it's not a mandate, but it's a very critical supposition or a recommendation, I'll say, to do the daily contemplation. We highly recommend it, but again, there's no mandate. The only taboo on the path back to is marijuana and illegal drugs. I separate that because I think marijuana pretty soon will be legal, but it still will be a taboo on this path because it's a very dangerous and negative, destructive force, and it has been for a long, long time. So that's a taboo. I know that probably turns off some of the people, but that's the nature of the way it is. It's what we say and what we mention, and that's it. That's just the way it is. So if you're using marijuana, you can't be on this path, okay? So you have to leave that at the door, so to speak. So that's the only taboo. We don't go into it in much detail. It's just the nature of the way it is. In terms of other things, in moderation, we talk about anger, lust, greed, attachment, and vanity as the five passions, but that's a moderation. To be human and a normal person, you have to have a little bit of these things, all right? But the extreme aspect of it, when you're extremely in those situations where you cannot get any balance in behaviors, well, that is not necessarily a taboo. It's just a problem. But that's why we know that doing the daily contemplation will balance any individual out in this situation because, as Leslie said also earlier, it's a very calming experience because the power of soul, we know, is a minimum of 10,000 suns of power. That's how powerful the spirit is within each one. That's why people go through so much of a manic, depressive state in their lives because they're trying to harness this major power of spirit, and they don't really realize what they are when they're born because we're not taught that. We're not taught the Akita path that explains that each individual is very powerful, and it needs to be harnessed. It needs to be balanced, and that balancing situation comes in the daily contemplation each day. And if you marry that and practice it every day, it will guarantee equilibrium and balance because we've spent a lifetime dealing with this, Leslie and I, and other people that are on the path presently can attest to the fact by marrying the daily contemplation, by doing this dedicated discipline each day, will give people a sense of equilibrium and harmony in their lifetime. Did you want to add anything in there? What's our timing like, too, Leslie?
Well, we have about a little over 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, I do think once somebody experiences the contemplation and they start doing it on a regular basis, they'll really start to understand what spiritual unfoldment is about. And also, if you're interested in getting more information, you can look online at our website, akita.com, and there are free books you can download, free audios, everything's free. As well, if you are interested in and can make it to Philadelphia for the introduction meeting on Tuesday night, the 9th at 6:30, it is free also. So you're welcome to join us.
Right, and just reiterate that that's the Philadelphia Central Library. Just to add that.
Yes, it is. And also, I just wanted to mention that that'll be an opportunity for people to actually speak to the Mahaji, and we can actually address some questions and things at the end of the talk, that we'd be happy to do that. So I just wanted to mention it's a wonderful opportunity, because the Mahaji doesn't appear at public meetings very often. We have about 4 minutes left, so let me turn it back to you for a few minutes.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Appreciate you explaining the time there. And therefore, what we do here each week is to give basic fundamentals. And as I said before, the main and most important aspect for everybody in the call this evening is to learn about the sound current that you hear within you. And everybody can hear it when they attune to it. Sometimes people have to get into a quiet area to hear the high electrical pitch within one. Sometimes it can be very loud. At the same time, sometimes people can't hear it, so that's why we recommend that people do the huge chant, because that'll stimulate the focus of the individual soul, and then one can hear the sound and then see the light. That's a twin aspect of what we call Sferosha, as a derivation of the word spirit. And if you see the Sferosha symbol is on our website and different places on the introductory book. It's a stylized Sferosha, Sraosha. It has the two higher Sanskrit words, Sra and Sha. Sra is higher Sanskrit for sound, and Sha is higher Sanskrit for light. So we have the sound and light. So the most important part is for individuals to get with their sound current, listen to it, absorb into it, and then when you do that, you travel on the sound current in Sahaji. Sahaji is the spirit travel, out-of-body experience that we teach as a forefront of the original teaching of this movement towards spiritual liberation, to reiterate some of what we were saying before. So it's very important that people attune to the sound current and then ride that sound to the fifth plane, and that's how we do it. We go through those lower planes that we were talking about, the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, and we travel through those arenas, and those are very vast arenas, because we know that the physical plane is very large in terms of what the scientists teach in terms of the cosmology, so each one of the planes is actually exponentially larger. So that means that it can be difficult and tricky to get through those lower planes, and that's where I give inner guidance for people to get through those planes to get to the fifth plane of the first goal of self-realization. Self-realization is very important, and we know there's a great elation and ecstasy when one achieves that. Okay, where are we now?
Srikanthi, yeah, we've got about a minute left, so I did want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. We invite you to listen to any of these shows in the archives, and also to visit our website, akita.com. If you can make it Tuesday night to the Philadelphia Central Library at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia, room 108. The meeting starts at 8:30. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to speak to Sri Kadaji. And with that, I would like to invite you back to additional shows for, you know, if you'd like to join us as well. So we've got about 30 seconds
Did you mention the time was 6:30, though? I think.
6:30. Okay. Sir Tarfield, would you like to close? We're very close to the ending.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.